May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Each month, The Guardian runs a column entitled, I Gave It All Up To... A man in his 50s gave it all up to cycle the world with his dog. His business was unfulfilling, so he sold his possessions, loaded his panniers with clothes, a tent, cooking utensils, and he hasn't stopped since. He feels physically and mentally lighter. A young couple gave it all up to live off the land. Having quit steady jobs, they gave away their stuff, and now they look after 3 acres of land in West Cork, rearing goats, growing vegetables, and hosting a stream of B&B guests. They think they're happier facing the challenges of running a small holding. We might question the sustainability of alternative lifestyles of eccentrics doing what they want. Yet, as we gather to celebrate Gabriel's baptism, we reflect on what we give up to follow Christ. What difference does it make to put the love of God at the centre of our lives? Gabriel will be baptised in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The cross will be traced on his forehead, a mark of God's love in dying and rising for us. Today, his parents and godparents speak for him, and we promise to support him. In our worship, we gather to pay attention to God, to hear words of forgiveness, love, peace, and blessing. And then we will be dismissed, sent out, scattered in the world. And with Gabriel, we learn to love and serve as members of the body of Christ, walking together in his light. This is the context in which we think about what we give up. Not because we're bored with conventional lifestyles, but because we're called into relationship with God. Putting God at the centre shapes our lives, from the major decisions to the most mundane interactions. Today's readings invite us to respond to a love that is gratuitous. In creating, restoring, and sustaining us, God loves lavishly, faithfully, abundantly, generously, and freely. To place such love at the heart of our lives changes us and frees us to give. At a human level, we understand that commitment to others constrains us. Loyalty to friends, faithfulness to a spouse, the demands of caring for infants or elderly relatives. Yet in those networks, we are also freed to be ourselves. There is reciprocity in encouragement and care, joy and intimacy. Commitment is costly. We renegotiate how we spend our time and our money. We feel betrayed when that loving trust is undermined. Peter's exclamation is typically honest. The disciples gave it all up to follow Jesus. Is he doing a cost-benefit analysis of his decision? Or is he being a little bit smug about the radical nature of his commitment? Whatever's running through his mind, it's sparked by Jesus' exchange with the young man and his comments about riches. There is an urgency about the rich young man. He sought after God, sensing some kind of lack in his life. He longs to hear the good news. And Jesus begins with a challenge about keeping the commandments, listing those relating to our dealings with others. The man's life seems to stand up to that moral scrutiny, but more is demanded of him. Jesus looks at him with the fullness of the love of God, full of compassion and grace. It's the sort of love that invites us into a deep relationship with God. And we know that such depth and intimacy demands our all. Following Jesus, being a disciple, is more than following a set of religious rules. It's the risky business of letting God shape all our thoughts and actions and desires. Placing our trust in wealth and possessions is part of our creaturely condition. Our desires get misdirected. Concerns about material security, from the housing ladder to our supermarket shop, reflect perhaps a deeper anxiety about our worth, our priorities. And it can be hard to disentangle ourselves from that web of stuff. Indeed, it's impossible for us, but not for God. The God who took the risk of pouring out his love into creation knows that we get caught up in things. He knows our separation from him and our fragmented lives. In shorthand, our sin. And he chooses to reach out to us in the messiness of that. We receive the gift of the law to love God and our neighbour. His prophets called us back to his ways of justice and mercy. But the ultimate good news is that God chose to be radically present with us in his Son. Jesus speaks to us. He holds our gaze. He sees us as we are, and he loves us. His word continues to be living and active amongst us. As we share in bread and wine and blessing, as we pour out water and light candles, we ask God to forgive us, to liberate us from all that prevents us from following him wholeheartedly. The letter to the Hebrews reminds us that nothing is hidden from God, our inner thoughts, our unconscious intentions. The relief and the release is that not only does God know everything about us, but in Jesus there is nothing God has not faced. He is God with us. There is no temptation or hurt or loss that he hasn't faced. God's love is made perfect in our human weakness. It's a love that captivates and changes us. His holiness transforms us. We become his holy people. Therefore, we can have every confidence that we can find grace and mercy in our time of need. For in love, his Spirit is continually poured out on us. We rejoice today that Gabriel is being drawn into the fullness of life promised by God. In his infant vulnerability and dependency, in his openness to learning, exploring, and delighting in the world. He will need our encouragement as he embarks on a life of responding day by day to the good news of God's forgiving, generous, reconciling, and creative love. Perhaps as we welcome him, we can look at ourselves afresh and determine what it is that entangles us and separates us from God. Does what we possess possess us? As we celebrate harvest, we have the opportunity to reflect God's generosity by giving to those in need. As a cathedral dedicated to the Holy Spirit, our giving is reflected in the pursuit of wisdom, in fostering relationships. Rooted in our worship, we make space for debate about liberty. We make space for 500 sixth formers to participate in question time. Might those things be signs of the kingdom? If so, what does our discipleship ask us to give up? If so, what does our cathedral commit to? Our financial giving isn't a membership fee. It isn't solely about obedience to a particular discipline of tithing. It's more than that. Our giving is a free will offering, an act of thanksgiving, a response to the vision of God's kingdom. Giving it all away is an act of trust, reflecting our expression of God's purposes for us. We are to be a lively sacrifice. In giving our all, we share in God's mission of blessing the world. Amen.